So last week, Pastor shared with us that FORWARD is an acronym that we'll be walking through over the next couple weeks. Who was just like set on fire last week? Anybody else? Like, I mean, I'm just still burning from last week, man. It was intense. So we talked about the children of Israel being in a dilemma, and that the definition of a dilemma is a situation in which difficult choices have to be made between two unseemingly and unfavorable alternatives. our current political situation. We realize that in order to face a dilemma in a productive way, we have to think rightly when confronting the decisions we must make. We have to remember what Jesus has said to us, and we have to remember what the Father has said to us. We also have to realize that God has prepared our future and has already moved into our future. It's important to move forward knowing that even though God has gone before us, it doesn't mean that we won't be attacked or faced with difficult times. But we can be steadfast, immovable, and abounding in the work of the Lord because he always gives us the victory through Christ Jesus. Amen. So that was F last week. This week we are on O, which stands for ordinary people. Look at your neighbor, say ordinary people. Ordinary people. We're going to pick up in verse 10 of Exodus 14. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness.' And Moses said to the people, 'Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward.'" Amen. Y'all mind if I teach for just a couple minutes? The two main players in this account, Moses and the children of Israel, were ordinary people. They were ordinary people. There was nothing intrinsically different between the two of them. Nothing. Moses wasn't this wildly qualified spiritual leader. Moses being chosen by God, it wasn't like he was the popular kid in high school that gets picked first for all of the soccer games and volleyball games, basketball games, stuff like that. No, he was like the last pick. You know what I'm saying? He was the guy you can have Moses. No, I don't want Moses. You take Moses. That was Moses. Moses was not a favorable option whenever it came to leaders. And so whenever we look at the incredible things that God did through Moses, we need to understand that he did them not out of him being this incredible, amazing person, but actually he was just as ordinary as the children of Israel. In fact, both were immigrants. Both were immigrants. They were both placed in lands that were not originally their home. And not only that, but even Moses, beyond that, had to flee after he murdered someone to a land, another land that wasn't his own. And so the children of Israel were displaced, or they came because during a famine, they came down and they migrated to Egypt, and then they were there, and then Pharaoh was like, "Who are all of these Israelites? And then who are all of these people? And so I'm gonna enslave them because they ain't from here." And so that's what Moses did. Pharaoh did. He enslaved these immigrant people. And so we see that both were immigrants and both held meager roles in society. Israel as enslaved day laborers and Moses as a lowly shepherd. There was nothing special about any of these people. Neither Moses nor the children of Israel. And so we need to understand that even beyond that, increasing the oddity of God's call on Moses' life to be a leader of nations was the fact that he was a horrible delegator. He was a terrible first choice. He was ordinary. There was nothing intrinsically different about him versus the rest of the Israelites. They were the same. They were equal. There was nothing more special about him than them. And so neither of them were significant historical figures. Oh, wait. Neither of these two significant historical figures were overwhelmingly desirable in the eyes of society, and yet both were specifically called by God to profoundly affect history. Both of them. Ordinary people called by God to affect history for his glory. We, like Moses and the children of Israel, are all ordinary people, yet called by God to affect the world around us for his glory. Every single one of us, with our imperfections, our hang-ups, our baggage, etc., have been chosen. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter the sins that you committed before Christ. It doesn't matter your economic status. None of that matters. What matters is that God has called you. It says in 1 Corinthians 26 through 31, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord." Our lives, despite our shortcomings, are meant to point to the power and glory of God. It does not matter who you are or who you were. It matters that the second you said yes to God, you had a calling to glorify him in every area of your life. Now, you might look at me and say, "Well, vocationally, aren't you the one that's supposed to be glorifying God?" Like, vocation, our vocation may be different, but our purpose is the same. So my vocational calling is pastor. Your vocational calling might be whatever, doctor, janitor, burger flipper. It might be realtor. It could be anything. It could be anything. So our vocation is not important, as important as our purpose, which is to bring glory to God. That everywhere we go, people would look at us, see our story, and be confused about who we are. You know, Jesus was from Nazareth, and so whenever he went around doing great things, people look at him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And yet, look at all of this stuff that he's doing. I've heard people trash talk Fayetteville all the time. And I'm just like, watch out, world. Because you might think nothing good can come from Fayetteville, North Carolina, but there are a people in Covenant Love Church that are called to rise up and be the light and glorify God in every single thing that we do. And it might be confusing in the world's eyes, but we know. We know. I am in Christ. I am in the Creator of the world. So you want to talk about power, you want to talk about glory, you want to talk about being able to throw down, baby? When you are in Christ Jesus, it does not matter who you were, it matters who he says that you are. That's the most important thing about your life, what God says about you. And so it was the same thing with the children of Israel. When we look at them, we realize they had the same calling. They were called to be the people of God and to be a shining light that pointed to the Father. That wasn't just Moses' job. That was the calling of all of the children of Israel. And some of them were farmers, and some of them were musicians, and some of them were artists, and some of them were shepherds, and some of them were planted the crops, but they all had the same purpose: bring glory to God. Bring glory to God. Bring glory to God. Bring glory to God. I need to go somewhere with this, I'm telling you. So we realized that they had the same calling, but what kept the children of Israel from walking in that calling was how they responded to the dilemma that they were facing. So it's the same thing with us. You know, you might look at Pastor Al as this amazing, incredible person, right? And he is. But what makes him that person is the decisions that he has made when the chips were on the table. We can look at these mighty men of God. You might look at someone like T.D. Jakes and think, how do you become T.D. Jakes? It's the decisions you make. You might look at some of these people that are rising up right now, like Michael Koulianis down, and there's all kinds of revival happening, and it's not that he's something special. It's the decisions that he makes. And so the children of Israel and Moses, they had the same option. The same option to move forward and to glorify God. And the sad thing is that instead of Israel joining with Moses to do that, they just had to receive the residue of Moses believing what God said to be true. When God had called all of them to be in that same place, to glorify him the same way. And yet, whenever they were at this dilemma, even though they crossed through the Red Sea, even though God got a victory, they didn't have the right mindset. And so it looked like just Moses was the one that was doing all the work. It looked like just Moses was responsible. But it wasn't Moses in the first place. It was God through Moses. It was Moses choosing to believe what God had said. And so if the children of Israel had chosen to believe what God said, it would have been the whole company of Israel. Y'all following me? I'm still teaching. So the dilemma that they were facing in this moment was the seemingly impossible path to freedom in front of them and the threat of returning to slavery behind them. This is something really important. If you're going to understand the rest of this message, get this next statement. God had set them free, but when their past came to enslave them again, they doubted their current state of freedom. So, right, everybody agrees with that, right? God, the Israelites were set free in Egypt. God straight up kicked some tail. I mean, not only that, whenever you study out the 10 plagues, he was actually just bringing down the gods of Egypt. Whenever he blacked out the sun, he was making a mockery of the god of the sun. Whenever he really went for the jugular whenever he took out the Nile and made the Nile blood. Because the Egyptians believed that all life came from the Nile. And so God was just like, this God is nothing, that God is nothing, this God is nothing, that God is nothing. I'm it, baby. He sets them free. And so when the Israelites left Egypt, they were free. But whenever Egypt came back to try and recapture them, they doubted that freedom. Y'all following me? So despite all God had done to save them in Egypt, they saw the return of the Egyptians as another thing to be saved from instead of continuing in the reality that they were already saved. They saw the return of Egypt as another thing to be saved from instead of going, God's already taken care of that. Y'all following me? Okay, even Moses in his faith that God was going to work, didn't realize that their salvation was already present. So Moses says, stand still and see the salvation that God will accomplish for you today. But he didn't even realize that that salvation was already accomplished. Look at what it says in Psalm 77:19. I use the ASV for some of y'all that like them, these and thous. It says, thy way was in the sea, and thy paths in the great waters, and thy footsteps were not known. So even before the children of Israel made it to the Red Sea, the path to cross over was already there. We talked about it last week that God already goes before us. God is in our present and God is in our future. And so God, in this moment, they come to the Red Sea and they're like, what are we going to do? And God was like, there's already a path. And so the salvation that was going to be won for them that day had already been won before the foundations of the earth whenever God knew he was going to lead them through the Red Sea. Y'all don't want to get with me this morning. It was already there. The game was rigged. It was rigged. The battle had already been won. Even before they had been set free from Egypt, the country, the battle at the Red Sea had already been won. And so listen to this. Listen to this. The crossing over the sea isn't what saved them or redeemed them. Isaiah 51:10 says, was it not you who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a pathway for the redeemed to cross over? So it wasn't the crossing over that redeemed them. It was that they were redeemed and so they could cross over. Ha. It's not that going through the Red Sea is what gave them the victory. It's that they had the victory, and so they went through the Red Sea. God declares the end from the beginning. When you are facing trials and tribulations, you conquer those things, not because the conquering those makes you more than a conqueror. You are more than a conqueror, and so you conquer those things. Oh, I'm feeling this today. I need to get to my notes though, because I'll start preaching again and I gotta get us somewhere. So the Red Sea was not the key to their freedom. It was proof of what was already true about them, that they were free. It was proof. God didn't need the Red Sea in order for their freedom to be true. But the Red Sea was just another demonstration of the process of freedom that they were walking in. So God set them free, and then they're walking out that freedom, and they come to the Red Sea, and the intent was for them to continue walking out their freedom, and then to come to Jericho and continue walking out their freedom. And then come and meet all of the different people that had taken over the promised land and continue walking in their freedom. It wasn't that every time that they were coming up against another difficulty, their freedom had to be re-won. It was that they were walking in freedom, and then every battle that they won after that was just another declaration, you are free. And then you win again, and it's a declaration, you are free. And then you win again, and it's another declaration that you are free. Amen. Y'all following me? All right, a little bit more. It's a little bit long. So this is what set the ordinary people of Israel and ordinary Moses apart. It's that Israel wanted further proof of what was already true, but Moses believed the extraordinary truth of what God had done, what God was doing, and what God would do for his people. So it's the same thing for us. What makes the difference between me or Pastor Tasha or Pastor Ira or Pastor David or Pastor Michaela or Marcellos and Eric and all these other people that people might look up to and say, wow, Pastor Delphine, wow, look at her. She's walking in faith, all this other stuff. Well, no, but the thing is that they have chosen to believe what is already true about them. So the difference between me and somebody else is that before I ever get to the battle, I believe I've already won. And what's holding so many Christians back right now in the body of Christ is that they believe that they have to get to the battle and win in order for them to be a winner. That they believe that they have to get to the battle and conquer before they're more than a conqueror. Instead of the fact that right now, right now, from the moment that you made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life, you were more than a conqueror. that the moment that you are set free from sin, you remain set free from sin. The moment that you are set free from your past, you are made free forever. Whom the Son sets free is free. Whom the Son sets free is free sometimes. No, indeed. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if the Spirit of the Lord lives in me, then there is freedom. It is not a question mark. It is not a wondering. It is not a pondering. It is the most true thing about me and you. We are free. So daily we face the same dilemma as Moses and the children of Israel. Daily. Because in front of us is our process and behind us is our past. Eric and Sally, can y'all come here for a second? They're nervous. Look at this shaking. I told them this morning they were going to come and be a part of some good-looking boys right here. But they're taken, ladies. I'm sorry. They're taken. I'm sorry. I can't tell. These boys are taken. Here, Sally, you stand right there. And Eric, you just stand right there. Like further over there. Goes anyway. Right there, right there. So we'll say, I'm sorry. This is my past. It's only because he's got leopard print on today. That's the only thing. This is my past. Okay? This is my past, and this is my process. This is who God's called me to be, and this is what God's called me out of, okay? Not really. This is an outstanding young man. I just tell you, the outstanding young man. But for today, all intents and purposes, he's the past. Y'all don't like him today. But afterwards, when service is done, y'all like him, okay? But for right now, we don't like Selly. We like Eric. Move it along. Michaela said, move it along. So when I am set free from my past, the enemy tries to convince me that I'm still not free. So what will the enemy do? If the devil can't keep me from being saved, he'll settle for keeping me trapped between my past and my process. Can I say that one more time? If the devil can't keep me from getting saved, he will settle for trapping me between my past and my process. Because if he can keep me trapped between my past and my process, I'm not moving forward. I might go to heaven, but I won't affect any change here on the earth. And he's good with that. The devil would love for you to just dream about going to heaven. And I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away till I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. He's just like, just keep on singing about flying away just as long as you don't bring heaven to earth right now. As long as I can keep you thinking that the kingdom in the future is the most desirable and not the kingdom right now, I don't have to worry about you. That's what the devil thinks. If I can keep you trapped between your past and your process, you are nothing to worry about. If I can keep you thinking that if Pharaoh showing up every 5 seconds means that I'm still not free, and that a seemingly impossible walk forward in continuing in my freedom is impossible, then that's great. I'll keep you trapped there all day long. Because you won't move forward. He wants us to think that if we are in process, we aren't completely free. But look at what it says in Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit, what's that word? Again, to the yoke of slavery. So, I'm not over here trying to get the yoke off of me. I live in a perpetual state of refusing to put it back on. So being saved is not trying to keep the past off. It's trying to remember that I've been set free. That yoke of bondage is something that I'm not struggling to not be entangled in right now. It's that I will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So I'm not trying to defeat sin. I'm reminding sin that sin is defeated. Yeah. I'm not trying to convince myself that my past is gone. I'm living in the reality that it is. It's been cast into the sea of forgetfulness as far as the east is from the west. And if my process, listen, process is not easy. It's not. But because I haven't reached this point yet, so if this is like the promised land, and I haven't reached this point yet, it doesn't mean that I'm not walking in the freedom that God has created for me to walk in. It means that as soon as I leave the past, as soon as I'm done with the past, thank you, that was some good stuff right there. That's some quality acting right there. That's some high-end production. So as soon as God breaks me free from the past, I am free. But I am continuing to walk out my process of freedom. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I get saved, my spirit is new, but my soul is being renewed. My mind is being renewed. Why? Because I can remember the past. And I might face temptations from the past. But facing the past doesn't mean that I'm still bound to the past. And this is why it says that Abraham believed and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Y'all notice it doesn't say that he acted righteously and it was accounted to him for. He believed that what God said was true, even though he wasn't fully manifesting it yet, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And so, yes, I might still have some tendencies from the past, but that doesn't mean that I'm not free. I am free indeed, and I'm walking continually into that freedom. I feel like y'all are catching on. So again, we are free from day one, but we are in a process of fully walking out that freedom. So there's a theological idea or a doctrinal truth called active and passive freedom, righteousness, whatever you want to put there. So you're holy, whatever God calls you, whatever God says to be true about you, whether that's you're free, whether that's you're holy, whether that's you're righteous, that you're healed, all of those, anything that God says about you, there is an active and a passive version of that. So I am passively free because the day that Jesus called me, he said I'm free. So I am passively free. But as I begin to walk in that freedom, I don't watch pornography anymore. I'm not addicted to drugs anymore. I speak kindly to my wife. I don't speak rudely to my children. I love one another. I keep the bond of peace. I maintain unity. I let my yes be yes and my no be no. I am walking actively in that freedom. But just because you might not be fully walking in your freedom, it doesn't make you any less free. Just because you're not fully walking in your total righteousness, it doesn't mean that you're not righteous. It means that you are in process, and the devil would love nothing more than to keep you stuck thinking that I am not fully free until I am fully actively walking in that freedom. He wants you stuck between your past and your process. But God wants you to know this right here. Romans 6:14. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Now, let me talk to the people that are going to try and take this the wrong direction for just a second. What I am not saying is that to prove how much grace I'm walking in or how much freedom I'm walking in, that I'm just going to be like walking along with my past. I'm like, it's all good. Yeah, but God's grace is covering me and I'm in my process. No. Past got to stay back here. So I don't prove God's grace by walking in sin. Like, there wouldn't have been anything powerful about Israel going, we're free, so we're just going back to Egypt and we're going to be enslaved to the Egyptians again, but we're free, we're free, we're free, we're full of grace. No, the power of their freedom was manifested in the stuff that they kept marching away from their freedom, from their past, towards their process, and walked into what God had already set before them. And so I'm constantly have this struggle where there's the battle of the process and the battle of the past, but I got to keep walking this way, and I walk that way by believing that I am no longer a slave to sin. Even if my sin continues to tempt me, even if I fall, even if I mess up, even if I don't get it right every day, a righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets back up again. So I can mess up in the process. That's why Israel was still able to cross through the Red Sea. Y'all hear me? Israel, in their unbelief, was still able to cross over because God still won. Their unbelief didn't make God any less of a victor. Your unbelief can't stop what God already has planned for you. It can make it slower, but I believe every single one of us are called in this room to grab a hold of this and not be like the children of Israel, but to be like Moses. And to walk forward and say, I am not entangled. I will not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. But I will stand firm in my freedom. We cannot be trapped between our past and our process. We have to move forward. Y'all can sit down. Thank you so much. Give them a hand. Because here's something that's really important we got to realize. God erases your sin. He doesn't erase your story. That's heavy. God erases your sin. He doesn't erase your story. And the devil will do everything he can to manipulate that into making you think that because your story is still true, it's still true that you're enslaved to sin. But God has called your story to be the very thing that rubs the devil's nose in what he used to do to you. Hallelujah. You know what it said? Listen what it says in Revelation 12. And they overcame him. Who? The devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their what? Your story is not your chains. Your story is the very same thing that you use to say, devil, you no longer have power over me. My story is proof of the goodness of God. What made me ordinary, what made me just like everybody else, what made me in need of the grace of God is the very thing that declares that the devil has been defeated. Do not let the devil make you think that your story equals that you're still in bondage to sin. Your story is proof of your freedom. Your story is the very thing that qualified you for grace. Your story is the very thing that makes the gospel the gospel. That he would choose the lowly things of this earth to tear down the high things. That he would use the weak things of this earth to destroy the strong. Your story is the very reason why you deserve to be in this place. Your story is the very reason why you deserve to be seated in heavenly places. Not because you were a perfect person, not because you got it right before Christ, but because you got it all wrong. And then grace saved you. And then grace empowered you. Your story is everything. Stop being ashamed of your story. Stop letting the devil make you think that when you're, because that's what really, when Pharaoh came up behind them, the children of Israel, that was their story, trying to come back and tell them that, oh, you'll never leave us. Huh, you can't get away from us. It's like, no, come right along. Follow me into this sea. Did y'all? Tell your story and tell your sin. Come on. Just no. It's fair. No, look, God parted the waters. You can be all right. You're gonna be okay. Just come on. And then watch the power of God overtake your story. And then guess what? All throughout the scriptures, you hear the psalmist and the prophet saying, remember the Red Sea. Remember. Do not be bound by your story any longer. Realize that your story, get this, it says, they overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. You realize the blood of the Lamb and your testimony are being put on the same pedestal of power. Your story, transformed by the blood of the Lamb, makes your story just as powerful as the blood of the Lamb. That when the blood of Jesus ran down from Calvary and the devil lost all of his power, that was your story. That no matter who I was, no matter what I've done, when I apply the blood of Jesus to my life, when I apply the grace of God to my life, it is a reminder that the devil is defeated. Why? Because then your story becomes what makes the blood of Jesus desirable in other people's lives. It's so sad to me that we still come to church and try to act like we, you know, well, I never had a past. When Paul was like, yo, I was the chief among sinners. And that's why I am who I am today. Not because I was perfect, but because I was a sinner and grace saved me. Grace empowered me. Grace has made me the man that I am. That it's great that I was just an ordinary person. Like, I wasn't born full of the Holy Spirit like Jesus was. Some of y'all think that because I'm Pastor Al's son. But some of y'all might remember some of what I used to do. That was very evident that who I am right now has nothing to do with who I was back then. But who I am right now is because I'm not bound to who I was back then. And that's the most powerful thing about me. It's not that I can say all the right things and do all the right things and get everything perfect. No, far, far, far from the truth, y'all. That's so far from the truth. I'm not perfect. I wouldn't even begin to claim that I'm perfect. But I've got a story. I've got a story that's been captured by grace. And who I am today. God didn't choose me because I was as close to the end result as I could have been. And so he was like, oh, well, you know what? You're pretty much already saved, so I'm just going to go ahead and save you. No, it's because I was so far away. And I needed the throne of grace. I needed Jesus. And then I was set free and I was made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And I was made holy. And I was called, and it's not that I fully walk in that holiness and that righteousness and that freedom right now. I still have my process, but I will not let the devil trap me between my past and my process. I feel so my heart breaks for people who, you know, those people that they just raise their hands Sunday after Sunday at the altar call. Or how about this? The people that feel like they should. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. As if the blood of Jesus that was applied to your life the first time wasn't enough to carry through for the rest of your life. And that doesn't mean that we don't ask for the forgiveness of sins. Of course we do. We have a mediator in the man, Jesus Christ, that if we sin, we can ask forgiveness of our sins. But every time you sin, it doesn't put you back in Egypt. It wasn't like every time the children of Israel messed up, God said, well, just go back to Egypt and another 400 years, I'll catch up with you guys again. The Old Testament is a story of grace being poured out upon grace, being poured out upon grace, being poured out upon grace. God's long suffering, God's patience. God is so patient with you. He is patient in your process, and he's waiting for you to realize, you can go ahead, George. He's waiting for you to realize that just because your past has come back to try and tell you that you're still enslaved, that what he spoke over you from the cross is still true. It is still finished. You are still free. You are still holy. You are still righteous. You are still loved. You are still accepted. And the day we get this is the day that we can see people come in. I don't want everybody that comes into this room to look like they've been saved their whole life. Church is supposed to be messy. And the church has done such a good job at shooting their own as soon as someone gets trapped between their past and their process. Why? Because we're all trying to pretend like our story's been erased too. Instead of realizing that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, y'all. The ground is level. And there's not a single thing that I could do to make me better than you. And there's not a single thing that you could do to be better than the person sitting next to you. Because the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. And people have to be set free from thinking they've got to be perfect before they get into the church. Because the church has become a symbol for the most self-righteous people, prideful, religious, divided. And we need Jesus to capture our thinking and to make us realize, because why do we need to try and prove that we're better than somebody else? Because we don't believe what God has already said about us to be true. We try and compare ourselves to the person sitting down the row from us. Why? Because we don't believe that we're just as free as they are, no matter how messy their life might seem. That we are all equally free in this room right now and watching online. We are all equally loved right now. We are all equally accepted right now. And even if you've been running from Jesus your whole life, guess what? In the story of the prodigal son, the father did not wait for the son to come running back to him, but whenever he saw him from afar off, he took off running towards the son. Because everything the prodigal son did outside of the house of the father never changed the fact that he was a son. When he was out in the city sinning, he was a son. When he was in the pig pen, he was a son. And whenever he wanted to go back and enslave himself to his father, he was a son. And whenever he tried to convince his father that he needed to be a slave again, the father said, no, you are a son. Yeah. Your sin is erased. And your story doesn't disqualify you. Your story is powerful. And I pray that shame would be broken off of you today. Because as long as the devil can keep us ashamed of who we were, we can never boast in what God has done. We'll keep on trying to come in and put on a perfect face in front of everybody on Sunday morning. Bless God, hallelujah, blessed and highly favored, above and not beneath, head and not the tail. And that stuff is true. But we don't try and say that stuff to convince people that it's true. We just need to know that it is. And then we'll look around at the people around us and we'll know, oh, well, Susie was out doing this last week, but you are still blessed and highly favored. I speak life over you. That we would be a church that no longer condemns people because of their past or because of their process, but we would be a church that accepts people because of their past and in the middle of their process. Spirit, breathe on us right now. The earth is groaning. Everything you hear on CNN and Fox and MSNBC, all that stuff, every news outlet, every issue, every problem, when you turn on the news and it's another black man dead in the street, or it's another baby being aborted because we don't make one life more important than the other. God values life. And politics have divided us to make us think that Jesus came into the world and died for all to be saved. And we hear this stuff and we allow it to divide us instead of hearing the groan of the earth calling out and saying, sons and daughters of God, be revealed. Hear the groan. The earth is waiting for you to stop being trapped between your past and your process and just live in everything that God has said to be true about you. It is who you are. That is your identity. Be set free today. Be set free. No, I'm saying that wrong. Realize that you are free. Be set free from thinking you're not already free. Be set free from thinking you are not already free. Be released into the holiness that you are already holy. You are already worthy. You are already righteous. And if you're in this room today and you've never given your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ, you might not be those things right now, but you can come become those things in this instant. Every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are in this place today and you say, I don't connect with anything that you're saying right now. I feel like I'm the scum of the earth. I feel like I'm the worst of the worst. I feel like I'm the most evil. I feel like I'm the most dirty. I feel like I'm the most unaccepted, unloved. I want to tell you right now, there is a God in heaven that loves you. That loves you because he loves you because he loves you, and he sent his son to die for you, not because he was obligated to, but because he wanted to. And because he loves you. And if you need to be brought into the family of God right now, I just want you to lift your hand. Just lift your hand. And we'll say a prayer with you. And if you're watching us online, you can lift your hand wherever you are. Come on, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. Come on, Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Even if it's one. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you, Jesus. That's two. Is there anybody else? Thank you. I see that hand. That's three. Is there anybody else? Jesus. If you're watching us online, I just feel like there's somebody watching us online right now that's given their life to Jesus, that's got their hands raised. Let's pray together. Say, Father, I thank you for everything that you say to be true about me. Forgive me for running from all of that. I accept it right now. I confess Jesus as Lord of my life. I thank you that my sins are forgiven. And right now, I am free. Right now, I am a son or daughter. I thank you that right now, I am loved. I am accepted. I am holy. I am righteous. I am blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. Just one more thing. Just one more thing. Everybody's heads continue to be bowed. Just honoring God in this moment. I feel like there's an impartation of confidence in who God has said that you are. That God wants to break shame off of some people's lives right now. So I just feel like just put yourself in a posture to receive from the Lord right now. Jesus. Just a little bit lighter, George. Just a little bit lighter. God, I thank you for a deep realization what is already true about everyone in this room. I thank you for a deep realization that we are all sons and daughters. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for breaking all shame in this moment. That even right now in people's hearts and minds, they would see what a woman that was caught in adultery saw. You stooping down into the dust and making eye contact with them right now and telling them, neither do I condemn you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the law of spirit and life being released right now over your people, that there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You are loved. Somebody say that. Say, I am loved. Somebody say, I am accepted. Say it again. I am loved. I am accepted. Come on, stand up on your feet. Let's make this a declaration as we go out today. I want you to look your past in the eye right now. And I want you to say, I am loved and I am accepted. Come on, one more time. Say, I am loved and I am accepted. Say this with me. Say, I am a child of God. One more time. Say, I am a child of God. Say this with me one more time. I am loved and I am accepted. I am loved and I am accepted. Come on, give God praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Walk in that today, okay? God, I bless your people. I thank you for everything that you've done today. We love you so much, God. We thank you that as we fast and as we pray, as the elections come up, that you would, instead of allowing us to grow further apart, that we would be bound closer together. And that as we continue to realize who you've called us to be, we would even begin to realize who you have called those around us to be as well, Lord Jesus. And that we would allow who you've said that we are to bind us together more than anything else in the world, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we go into this week with joy and expectation for everything that you are going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.